The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 5. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The apostle speaks with humble confidence, and he says, for our gospel. What he meant was this, that the Holy Spirit had blessed him personally with faith in that wonderful and blessed gospel. And secondly, I believe he meant that the Holy Spirit had given him a divine commission to preach to poor sinners that wonderful gospel. Our gospel. Mercy, if we can claim portion so divine today. In our chapter, Paul, writing to the Galatians, spake of some who profess to preach another gospel. How solemnly he spoke to those people who even attempt to preach another gospel, pointing out there isn't another one really. It's one of their own imagination. You take the poor Romish church, sadly and solemnly deluded, and they think the gospel is in a wafer. They say the priest changes into the very body of Christ. The bishop puts his hands upon the priest and so-called ordains him, and says he gives him power to change that wafer into the very body of Jesus. And many believe it, solemnly believe it, are ready rather to believe a lie than to believe the truth. Is the free willer any better? I think not, really. He says, if you do what you can and leave the rest to the Lord, he'll patch up what you have left undone. And people believe it. They think one day they will get to heaven on their so-called good works. That isn't the gospel of the grace of God. No, it's a terrible deception. We might go one step further. Some may think, by sitting under the truth, hearing the truth preached, that will do, and that will take them to heaven. It won't, you know. I suppose there have been hundreds and hundreds in this chaplain's favour seat who have heard the truth preached, but have never received the gospel in their hearts. A traditional religion, it's a very poor religion. No getting away, you know, from those words that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." These are the only people who will ever love the gospel, who will ever prize it. None others do. Well, that precious gospel contains everything that God could give, and it contains everything the poorest sinner on earth can feel to need. Some of you may have felt this gospel come to you in power years back. It'll do something for you if it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do something, my friends, that nothing else can do if it comes to your heart with real power. But that power is the grace of the Holy Spirit. To have a religion without the Holy Spirit, very solemn, terribly solemn. This gospel was provided by God for poor lost sinners. How wonderful. We read in Revelation, one of the angels had the everlasting gospel to preach. An everlasting gospel. You younger ones know, can't put everlasting in front of anything here on earth. Nothing's everlasting here below. It's all passing away. Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." You can safely put everlasting in front of the gospel. Be terribly sad for us if it was not an everlasting gospel, would it? Wouldn't it? Well, now we are told that the gospel, the good news of salvation. No better news than the gospel. Speaks of pardon, full and free, through Christ, the Lamb once slain. And that's what God's dear people feel to need, pardon. It's the gospel of peace. There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. we poor burdened sinners got a secret burden which none but God knows. We can't talk about things. I believe some go for a long, long time with a secret burden upon their hearts. Cannot speak about things, but they know what they need. They know what they long for. They know what they pray for, and that is the gospel. There is something that stumbles us, perhaps particularly in earlier days, that is the freeness of the gospel. My dear friends, if it wasn't free, we could never have it. Yet, as pride in our hearts, independence in our hearts, and we think we must do something to merit God's esteem, as if God's provision is not sufficient. It's hard, hard work to believe that the gospel is absolutely free. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal this to us. We do not often come to the gospel until we've spent all. Something like the woman in the gospel. She spent all that she had, and she grew rather worse than better. And in her extremity and need, she said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And that's where the dear Holy Spirit brings all his dear people. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Is that where you are? Come to the end. Oh, easy to sing that lovely hymn of Top Ladies. But very different to experience it. Nothing. In my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. All God's dear people are reduced to one plea. They can see only one thing can save them, and that is God's rich, undeserved, and sovereign mercy. And that's a sweet word to poor lost sinners, mercy. And that mercy, like the gospel, is everlasting, for the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What a favor to receive this mercy and to feel there'll be no end to it. It was possible for God to come to the end of his mercy, whatever would happen. We dare not think of it, but God's mercy is everlasting. It's all you're going to ask for. It's all you're going to pray. faithful. The Holy Spirit so teaches you, so convinces you of your sins, of your life, of your very nature, that it is a sinful nature. You'll have to plead for that gospel of mercy. I haven't got anything else to plead. No, nothing else I could ask for before that great God, mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Perhaps some of you understand a little of what we are speaking about. Now the gospel then doesn't come to any sinners because they deserve it. No. Our preaching, God has called us to preach. And if we are held to preach a truth that merits us heaven, now our prayers don't merit us anything. Our repentance doesn't. We are rightly taught, like Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress speaks of one who saw dirt in his tears. So we have to be brought off everything to be in and of ourselves, poor lost sinner. Easy for me to say this, but I hope I'm speaking from experience. I have known what it has been to be a poor lost sinner. I think you know, as something most wonderful in the workings of the Holy Ghost. He didn't make his people sinners. They were sinners before, but through his teaching, they come to know they are poor lost sinners. Feel it. And if you feel to be one of these, whatever might be set before you, if you could choose, you would choose this wonderful gospel. But you see, the Spirit's teaching makes us just feel this: we're lost. And what does the gospel say? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You follow me, dear Holy Spirit, makes a sinner feel that the very character to whom that wonderful gospel speaks. God's dear people, they feel to need one thing, that is, pardon of their sins. And if you live to be as old as some of us, you would still feel your need of pardon. Some tell us when a child of God is pardoned, they go along happy and free till they get to heaven. That isn't true, you know. Not if they live long. They still carry about with them bodies of sin and death. They are still not plagued by unbelief, that sometimes surely tried by what Paul calls that carnal mind, which is enmity against God. And so they can't dispense with the gospel. They feel their need of it more and more as they journey on. Do you? I don't think I ever felt my need of it more than I have during the past week. What a mercy to be poor and needy. David often, in those sacred psalms, confessed that he was poor and needy, not literally, but spiritually. There's a wonderful word that Jesus sent to John the Baptist in prison by his disciples, couldn't tell John, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, the poor, spiritually poor. They were not offended in the dear Lord Jesus. Then, where the Holy Spirit works, God's dear people feel hungry and thirsty, not naturally. No, a hunger and a thirst is created in their hearts. They cannot find real satisfaction in the things of this poor dying world. They thirst. They hunger. What can meet their needs? The gospel. What is the gospel? It is the bread of life. Very wonderful. We might say in the word, the gospel really is the dear Lord Jesus. He's the sum and substance of it. Had there been no precious Jesus, wouldn't have been any gospel. There wouldn't have been any food for those who have this spiritual hunger created in them. Well now, when the gospel comes with power into the heart, God's dear people are enabled to feed upon the truth. They feed upon the gospel. They feed upon the dear Lord Jesus himself. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That bears out what I said a minute ago. Dear Lord Jesus is the sum and substance of the gospel. Now what a favor to come to God's house feeling that hunger, feeling you want something this poor vain world can never give, and it cannot give real, true satisfaction. But the gospel can. The gospel does. And that will make God's word very precious to you. You are enabled to feed upon it. I have felt sometimes of late much thankfulness for God's word. People keep saying this isn't right or that isn't right. I don't believe them. No. There were those who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the sacred scriptures. When they were translated into our language, there were some 47 godly, gracious, learned men who translated the scriptures. They went over one another's translations to be sure that they were correct. I feel very thankful for the certainty of the scriptures, the inspired word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Lord bless the word to you, if he was to bless it to you today, if he was to answer the first hymn we sung, you would feed on the gospel. You would have food to eat. The world knows not of that when it comes in power, when it's only in word, and that's all you can get from us, from the most able ministers. You could only get the gospel in word only. Wouldn't do you any good. No, wouldn't touch a sore. It would not. It wouldn't be that to feed upon. Oh, may God save us from just trusting in the word, only the bare word. I believe, you know, people, they sort of apply God's word to themselves sometimes. But that's only in word only, that won't do. But those who are really burdened, those who are really lost, those who are cast down, they want something more than their ears tickled. With the truth, they do. They want the divine application of the gospel to their souls. Is it how you feel? You come, you may go sometimes, and you feel, what has it profited me? What have I gained in God's house? You might say, well, I've heard the very things my soul longs for. The very truths I've prayed for, I've heard, but it hasn't come home, not with power, sweetness to your heart. If you younger ones are seeking for Jesus and seeking for the gospel, I wouldn't discourage you, but you may come very prayerfully to God's house for a long time and not get what you long for. Not get that true spiritual satisfaction your heart longs for, but that's really a mercy if you're not left to rest in mere formality. Now the gospel did something for these Thessalonians, didn't it? Did something very wonderful for them, and so it will for you. We live in a world of change and decay. My dear friend, gospel doesn't change. The gospel remains the same. I was thinking of those wonderful words in the prophecy of Isaiah 3. And they suit God's people. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money, and without price. That's the gospel. I sometimes thought this, you know, I know people can preach 1,000 times better than I can. I haven't got a better gospel to preach, eh? A free and full gospel. Isaiah, sometimes called the evangelical prophet, he speaks very wonderfully of the gospel. God speaks through him. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, shall be as wool. That's the gospel. What the gospel does for poor sinners. Oh, may that be our favoured life, to experience this wonderful, full and free gospel. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. He doesn't mean that it's only through the ministry that we shall get the gospel. Sometimes comes upon our beds, may come when we are at our work. There may be prayer going up to God, earnest prayer. And so the Lord may have blessed you, and the Holy Spirit preach to you this wonderful gospel. It contains in it a pardon of sin. Wonderful blessing. One of our ministers once said, it's a very hard blessing to get. But it isn't hard or difficult for God to give it. But he keeps his people waiting. My dear friends, there's no pardon outside the gospel. This gospel. Paul's gospel. Should I say the Holy Spirit's gospel? No pardon outside that. What happened? You and I died without pardon. We couldn't go to heaven. Nothing shall enter there that defiled it. I feel the greatest thing in my religion is to know, to have this confirmed, that I have an interest in the precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. Nothing else can take away sin but that wonderful atonement. Sure of that. So, when the gospel comes with power in the Holy Ghost, he does something very wonderful. Poor Licinus, good old Gadsby in that well-known hymn, he says, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, Saviour's blood to plead. He wrote some encouraging hymns, wonderful gospel hymns, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. What emphasis the apostle laid on the work and person of the Holy Ghost. He is a person, real person, one in that glorious Trinity. And if he, in his love and mercy, brings his gospel unto your heart, you'll love him. It's a mercy to have a little Holy Ghost religion. That it is. Everything really is committed into his hands. I've sometimes thought, what responsibility is his? It's his work, his prerogative, called by grace to quicken poor sinners. And it is his to make known this gospel, to make known the person of the dear Lord Jesus. Can't know him with you. No, he must reveal him. We can't explain revelation. I think it was Mr. Philpott who said, a revelation of Christ is something that is experienced, believed, but it cannot be expressed. No mortal words fail to express this. But how wonderful. Feel this divine person, equal with the Father and the Son, condescending, come into your heart and to teach you the truth, to reveal the dear Lord Jesus to your soul. That all the religion we've got that's worth having, she has mercifully revealed to us and made known unto us. So the gospel does something for poor sinners. It's an inviting gospel. It invites the poor, the weary, the heavy laden. The dear Lord Jesus, you know, he preached the gospel. Preached it sweetly, wonderfully, invitingly. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the gospel of rest. It's the gospel of hope. Got heaven in it, and those who taste it will at last reach glory.